Our first scripture reading for this morning is from the Old Testament book of Numbers, chapter 11, verses 24 through 30. If you'd like to follow along, it can be found beginning at the bottom of page 129 in the Old Testament of your pew Bible. As we prepare to hear God's word, let us pray. God of power and grace, fill us with the wisdom of your word and the understanding of your spirit, so that we may be your church, a people with holy dreams and courageous visions, led by the Spirit into all your world through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us listen to the word of God. So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered 70 elders of the people and placed them all around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him, and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied. But they did not do so again. Two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad. And the spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent. And so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp, and Joshua, son of Nun, and Moses' aide since youth, said, 'My lord Moses, stop them.' But Moses said to him, 'Are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit on them.' Then Moses and the elders of Israel return to the camp." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So first of all, I know what you're thinking. This isn't the Pentecost reading I remember from last year, or the year before, or the year before that, or the year before that, right? With all those really difficult names of places to pronounce, right? I always feel bad for the pulpit assistant on Pentecost Sunday. So you're welcome, Betty. but don't worry, we're gonna get there to that passage as well. And second of all, before we get too much into this text from Numbers that Betty just read, we're gonna set up the context here of this passage, because first, context is important, right? And second, some of the context to this passage is just delightfully and fantastically funny. So here's what's going on. Here in the book of Numbers, one of the first five books of the Bible, right there between Leviticus and Deuteronomy. It's part of that great story of release and freedom from bondage in Egypt, and they're on their way to the promised land, and God's people are wandering in the wilderness. And they are all getting more than a little grumpy. Have you ever been on a long road trip that never seems to end and you start to get grumpy? Well, they're on a 40-year road trip that doesn't seem to have any end in sight at this point. So they are getting grumpy. And the people are one of the things they're grumpy about is they are tired of just having manna to eat, right? And you know, we'd probably get tired of it too. It is literally, manna means what is it? They are eating what is it every single day. Right? And so finally they're like, "You know, Moses, sure, Egypt was bad. We were in bondage, yes, I'll grant you that, but at least we had meat to eat when we were there. Why don't you do something about this, Moses? Because right now it seems it was better for us in Egypt." And so Moses is getting grumpy and frustrated with all of their grumpiness and their frustrations, and so he starts to complain to God. And God says, right in the lead up to where we picked up with what Betty just read, God says, "Okay, Moses, here's what I'm going to do. Gather for me 70 of the elders of Israel in the tent of meeting. The tent of meeting was this holy and sacred place that was set up outside of camp where Moses would go to meet God. So God says, gather 70 elders and go have them all meet there at the tent of meeting. And then God says, then say to all people, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow and you shall eat meat. And this is, I love this so much. You can look this up, verses 19 and 20. God says, you shall eat meat not only one day, or 2 days, or 5 days, or 10 days, or 20 days, but for a whole month, you're going to have meat to eat. And then, and no lie, again, look it up, Numbers 11, verse 20. God goes on to say, in fact, you're going to have so much, and I quote here, until it comes out of your nostrils. And it becomes loathsome to you, right? How awesome, right? How delightfully fantastic is that? God is like, I'm in the process right now of delivering you from 400 years of slavery and bondage, and you want to go back just because you could eat meat there? Fine, I'll give you meat to eat. I'll give you so much, it's going to come out of your nose until you hate it. Just, you don't have to raise your hand, but anyone, parents maybe? Anyone empathize with God a little bit here? All right, so anyway, how crucial are those details, right, to where we're going with this Numbers passage this Pentecost morning? I don't know. Maybe not too much. Maybe there's something there, but regardless, how can you not appreciate those extra details in what's going on? In fact, Numbers as a book and as its own particular account of God's people wandering in the wilderness and the stresses and the conflicts and the interactions with one another and with God, the God who is delivering them, Numbers as its own particular telling is always about the extra details that seem to just pop up in the middle or at the end of a story, sometimes even comically extra details. Stories of the extra bubbling up and showing up and breaking in when it looks like we've got a bead on the real or main story here. Suddenly there's a little something extra. So all that being said, that is how we end up with Moses gathering 70 elders at the tent of meeting. Again, this holy and sacred place outside of camp. And the Lord coming down in a cloud and taking some of the spirit that was on Moses and putting it on the 70 elders. And it works. They prophesy. At least it says they did once. But we see that for the sake of the community, at least for that time, that maybe even just that one time, the dispersion of the spirit, it expands. And more people are able to speak into the life of the community, the things of God, to guide and lead and direct, opening eyes to the work of God in their midst. Right? That's really what it means to prophesy. It's not fundamentally, we often think of it as predicting the future. Prophesying is not fundamentally about telling the future. Predicting the future is a parlor trick compared to this, right? Because this is about telling the present. Telling and inviting all to see with new eyes, to hear with new ears what God is doing, calling, inviting, challenging, helping us to reorient our lives around the story that God is writing in our midst and in the world. Speaking the things of God into life and our lives. That's what prophesying is. And so suddenly the spirit that has been on Moses gets widened and it's put on these 70 elders. And for at least that one time, they speak as Moses had been speaking. But that's not all, is it? There are these two others, Eldad and Medad. They're not a part of those 70. They're still hanging out in the camp, this common, everyday place of the comings and goings of life. And it says the Spirit rested on them too. It seems that the spirit that was being dispersed out there, outside the camp at the tent of meeting, somehow it managed to get loose and wander a little bit. There was some extra that spilled when this was going on. And so there's some unauthorized prophesying that starts to happen. Eldad and Medad, they begin to prophesy in the camp and not with or under the supervision of Moses or any of those 70 elders. And so some tattletale goes running to Moses. Moses, Moses, Eldad and Medad, they're prophesying without a permit. And Joshua, Moses' assistant, is like, not on my watch. Moses, stop them. You need to do something about this. Can we just pause again for a moment? Right? This is an amazing story, right? I know I'm dating myself here, but I cannot help but see this is a Seinfeld episode waiting to happen. Right? And it's funny. Right? It's funny because it's true. It's true, isn't it? Keep everything nice and neat and don't spill any extra anywhere. You can kind of even hear that tension in the text too, can't you? The person who's telling or writing down this story, you can hear in the tension in the telling. Eldad and Medad, it says, and the Spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but also at the same time, not so much. Well, they weren't out at the tent, right? Maybe a little tension in the telling and uneasiness that a little extra overflowed onto someone who maybe wasn't really supposed to have it. And even with those 70 out there at the tent, outside of the camp, the Spirit rested on them and they prophesied. But don't worry, they only did it once, so don't get any crazy ideas. Right? Even in the telling, can't you hear a bit of this tension with what God is doing, but also the concern over how can we control things like this if we can't count, register, and limit them? What'll happen if we can't have some say in who and how long? Right? Because otherwise, well, anything's liable to happen. And yet even in that tension, these stories of all the extra of God are bubbling up and bubbling over and finding their ways in the nooks and crannies of life. That sometimes, even in spite of our best and most organized efforts, God wants us to know there's more. More things of God to be spoken into our lives and the life of this world. More ears and eyes to be opened more and more to the work of God in our midst. More people, more types of people, those in our camp and those outside and those inside that we didn't expect, through whom God may yet be speaking. And yet how often are we like Joshua here? This couldn't possibly be what and who and how you had in mind, God. We should probably do something about this. How often are we like Joshua to ourselves? This couldn't possibly be what you had in mind, God, because I couldn't possibly have this or that to say or to offer. There must be some mistake. Something must have spilled along the way. As I prepare for my sabbatical this summer, we have done our best to set things up here. All the who's and what's and how's that have been gathered to make sure that what needs to be taken care of in the church, there's an order and a plan and all of that. Kathy Cooper, who's here with us, we'll meet her shortly. We'll be filling in part-time. We found a wonderful person to fill in part-time as the pastor here for this summer. She brings us so many good and wonderful things. But do you know one of the things I am most excited about? It's that at some point, and I'm going to be honest here.
Oops. Sorry.
Apparently,
I'm
really.
Also, really excited about.
You're really excited too. Yes. Well, here, at some point, something's going to go wrong. Right? At some point, and honestly, probably a number of points, there's going to be something that was not thought of. Something extra that pops up that needs to be taken care of. There's going to be necessities. There's going to be unexpected opportunities to see where God's Spirit, God's call, God's leading to overflow in all sorts of new ways here in this place, in and through y'all. Overflowing into all sorts of new ways, and dare we even hope outside of all of our registered and noted expectations. Sabbaticals are a time for you, for y'all, for this congregation as much as it is for me. For me to go off and do the same. To open up space. To see and hear. To create space for unexpected opportunities to pop up unannounced, for the extra to spill over and run wild in the camp, and to trust the God of surprising extra to push and pull and nudge and call us beyond all of our organized and expected ways, perhaps even compelling us to get over all of our Joshua tendencies, even our Joshua tendencies about ourselves. Where might God's call, God's Spirit of leading and speaking into this, our life together, what if it might just land on you in one way or another? What new things of ministry and mission and life together as God's people might spill over and spill out in this time? Things that seem at first something extra, but upon a second look, might just seem a part of God's intention all along. And so for this summer, perhaps just for this time, just for this summer. But maybe, just maybe, for longer, if we would just allow it and have sanctified imagination enough to hold it as a possibility. Because even here, in this story of tension between what is and the cusp of what might yet be. Because in this story where what looks like something comically or carelessly extra turns out to maybe be the plot all along. Because when Joshua, son of Nun, the assistant of Moses, one of his chosen men, when he heard of Eldad and Medad prophesying in the camp, he said, "My Lord Moses, stop them." But Moses said to him, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit on them." When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? So how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams, even upon my slaves. And both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. Beloved, the spirit of the Lord has been poured out on you, and 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 you, and you, on y'all, and on us. And if the scriptures are to be believed, God takes particular delight in pouring the Spirit out on and in those we would tend to not expect or plan for. And perhaps that even includes us. And so I wonder what might yet be the extra that begins to bubble up and bubble over, pushing through all of our best laid plans and preparations. What new vision of God's work in the world, God's work in this place, in this congregation, in this community, God's work in you, might we see? Might you see? Places, perhaps, where the grace of God in Jesus Christ through the Spirit at work spills over in unexpected and unplanned, unregistered and unlimited ways. What might we see? What might we speak? What might we hear? What new ways might we respond? And dare we even ask, might we live? When we are bold enough to consider that it might turn out to be that was the plot all along. Now, to the one who by the power at work within us is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or imagine, God be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through the Holy Spirit to all generations forever and ever. Amen.